Hey, good morning, Hope Church. We're going to talk to you about Costa Rica next week. Our guys are like falling like flies. We flew in this morning with one of them, and he's having some trouble that I don't even know what's going on with him, but they're going to have to sanitize the entire plane. I mean, it's just a wreck. So let me just say, it's good to be back. Next week, we're going to talk about Costa Rica, but I need to tell you this. A bunch of you said, you know what, we want to give to turn a bar, and they called this, where this bar was called Diablo's Corner, and they had so many fights and the police there and that, and they said, you know what, we're going to change this to Jesus Corner, and we spent with six guys building like maniacs with a whole group of gang members and that, and we transformed a bar into a church. And I mean, yeah, and you guys gave towards that. It's super exciting. It was just crazy on, I know it's Sunday because I'm here and you're here, but like whatever day it was that we were kind of done, and then that evening we decided, hey, the next day we're going to do a feeding program because the community is really poor. I mean, you could just see all these cute little kids lined up to get food, and it was incredible. And we're glad to be back. I'm glad to see you. If I'm a little bit, I mean, like I'm normally a little bit off, but if it's just a little more today and you're new here at Hope Church, I'm the senior pastor. I haven't slept for like a long time. So if things, you're like, man, that guy's a little strange. Could you come back next week? That would be good. You know, praise the Lord for Sharon. She brought clothes so I could change. I was in shorts and flip-flops. I'm like, wow, it's cold here. But hey, this is a new year. And 2 weeks ago, Pastor Kevin talked about it's kind of the big three. If you want to know what Hope Church is about, it's about seeking God. We're trying to help you seek God. You got to use your time wisely. Pastor Zach last week talked about not only do we want to seek God, we want to serve God. It's one thing to come to church. It's another thing to be part of the church. And, you know, we want you to use your talents for God. And I, this morning, I'm going to talk to you about, you know, seeking, serving, sharing, being active for God, using your treasures for God. And, you know, really I see my role as a pastor is to help you to grow in God. I want you to seek, I want you to serve, I want you to share. It's about your time, talents, and treasures. And as true as that is, most people, I don't want to say most Hope Church people, but in society, most people dismiss what the Bible says about resources. You know, it's just like, you know what? The church, all they want is your money, and they want to mess with you so you can't have any fun. Well, in my world as a pastor, most of the time when people come to me and they're in trouble, it has to do with money or morality. This morning I looked, I said, mortality? No, that's too late. I'm like, Jim, you've got to read what you wrote. You can't just go on your own today. But it's true. Too many people have been crushed in life because of moral decisions or financial decisions. And how many people have been consumed by what they consume. Now, honestly, I don't do the treasure talk very well. And if you've been around Hope Church very long, we're not here to beg for your money. We're not here to try to put the screws in you like we're going to fall apart and we're not making it. We are making it. We're doing great. We're super responsible fiscally. And so I'm just kind of sensitive to the whole church money type thing. And I say that, but at the same time, I want to say just a step stronger than that. I know that truly happy living comes from being dependent upon God and not your stuff. By the way, I don't look at what people give, just so you know. You're like, are you talking to me? Did you look at my thing? No, but if you're feeling that guilty, you might want to have a talk with God, like now. So I don't look at that, but I have no problem with you looking at what Sharon and I give. No problem. Because I don't want to be just taken control of by finances. And the reason is that because really, and I titled this Treasures That Has Nothing to Do with Money. So much of money really doesn't have anything to do with money. It has to do with your heart. Do I put my dependence in God Almighty, or do I put my trust in money? And if you're like, okay, what are you going to talk about? The Old Testament, we don't live there, the New Testament. Seriously? Jesus talked more about money than any other subject. Now I'm tired. So I'm not going to go on for every day. I scarfed donuts and drank like coffee like crazy. So I'm like, okay, I'm awake, I'm alert, but we're not going to do that. What does the Bible have to say? Jesus talks about this on the Sermon on the Mount. He says this, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So there's a little bit of a tension here, right? Okay, am I going to trust God or am I going to trust money? Let me just break it down real easy. There's two types of people when it comes to this. There are those who, they have the assumption it's all for their consumption. In other words, hey, God didn't go to work, I did. I saved, I'm more responsible than somebody else. I can buy whatever I want, wherever I want, however I want. God's blessed me and I'm going to use this for me. No problem. But where is God? Over there, it's my money, right? Our assumption is that everything we do and everything we earn is for our consumption, but we forget about biblical Christianity. You know what they did in the New Testament? They brought resources to their place of worship so their place of worship could take care of the church. And I'm going to say, I think the whole welfare in America, it really is the fault of the church. The church should have been the one to take care of those around them, but they didn't, and the government had to step in. And you know, I don't want to go down that road, but here's the bottom line. Our assumption cannot be that it's only for our consumption. And then there's another thought that, you know, God, I earned it, I'm going to use it. And then what's so interesting to me is that when people have a major financial setback, they're asking for prayer. Why do you need prayer? Because I'm broke. Why are you broke? What's none of your business? I ask for prayer. Why? Because I'm broke. Why are you broke? It's none of your business. I need God to fix it. Really? Would you give your kid, if you gave him $100 and he blew it all, and he keeps saying, I'm broke, would you then give him $1,000? I got a fan. Come on. Hey, you can hate me if you want. I'm talking to you again. I don't look at who gives. You can look at my giving. I'm telling you, you want to be blessed, you need to look at your heart. It's not about money. There are too many people who are consumed by what they've consumed. I've done all the research and found out how many people are in America, how in debt we are. Unsecured debt. I'm not talking about an investment like a home and that kind of stuff. It's really bad. You have one glitch. And it goes really, really bad. I'm going to help you with that, but let's talk about another aspect here. It's not just the assumption of consumption. There's another one. It's I'll call it a hoarder. And it's the exact opposite. I'm going to save every last dollar I got. nothing extra, ever. Because what if? I know those tires are good on that car, but what if one blows out anyway? Better have something in reserve. What if I get sick? What if I lose my job? What if it's true that there's an apocalypse coming with zombies? I need to be ready. My question is this: where is God? I trust myself to set up my life and don't trust God at all. I'm going to stockpile everything I can get just in case. You're not all sleeping, but it's mighty quiet. You know what? It's not about dollars that doesn't make dollars and cents here. It's the tension when it comes to our devotion to God. And here's the thing. God knows you. He knows me. And if he has your checkbook, he has your heart. Because where your treasures are, so is your heart. It's true. And it's so true, I do not understand that we believe God, that we can absolutely spend eternity with him, and we don't trust him with our treasures. You tell me that makes sense? It makes no sense. So what do? If you're like, you know what, Pastor Jim, I don't like what you're saying, but I need to hear it because I'm drowning. What can I do? Well, you take one step. You take one step, and let me tell you very simply how to get yourself back on track. Three words: give, save, live. That's all you need to do. This is how you keep from being consumed by what you consume. This is how you keep from being a hoarder and acting like a practical atheist. This is how you live out from under the pressures of finances. I give first because it all belongs to God. Right? It all belongs to God. And then I save for the future. I give, I save, and then I live on whatever's left. Not end of sermon, but you're like, man, Jim, that's great. Let's go have a donut together. And, you know, and this is the wrong time for this. Oh, my goodness. You just got your credit card bill. You're feeling horrible because you just paid off last year's Christmas, like last month. And now you're in it for another 10 or 12 months. It's madness. Okay. You give, you save, and then you live. It's called financial independence. We live devoted to God, and money is a tool. That's it. I don't serve it, it serves me. This is how Sharon and I have lived a long time. We have desperately tried not to live above our means. Because when there's an opportunity to give towards Costa Rica, we want to do it. When there's an opportunity to be a blessing, we want to be a blessing. It's super important. And, I mean, this is kind of hard. And I don't know if you've read or in the book of Malachi, he's like quoting God, and it's just rough. But this is what it says. Should people cheat God? Yet you've cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? God, when did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of tithes and offerings due to me. You're under a curse. That's rough. But there's times in your life when you want to give your kids something special, and they have their hands clenched shut. And they don't get the blessing that you want to give them. Because they're angry, they're doing it their own way, they're being selfish, they're doing their own thing. And I don't believe like God's super mad at you. I believe he can be disappointed for you. There are blessings that God wants to give you, but your hands are clenched. Again, I don't see anything unless you give a check to me. And normally I say, hey, Pastor Kevin's the money guy. If you want to know what somebody gives, Pastor Kevin's your man. Just saying. Hey, if anyone wants to know what Sharon and I give, just tell them. You know, he says, bring the tithes into the storehouse. What he's talking about, the place of worship, the place where you come. So there'll be enough food in my temple. And I see how you eat donuts. We need food here for you. We just do, and we make more coffee. I get it on a Sunday morning. You need all the coffee you can get because of guys like me up here. But, you know, it's not cheap to have the lights on all the time. And we're super responsible. There's a church that meets here yesterday. There's a church that meets here tonight. There's a daycare that runs 5 days a week here. We're not going to be the church that's open for 2.5 hours a week. It's not, I don't think it's right. We try to use our building any and every possible way we can. But this is what it says. He says, bring your tithes to the storehouse. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. I remember a man in our church in Iowa, he goes, oh, Pastor Jim, you know. And I'm like, zip. No, I don't know. What are you talking about? He goes, you know about my giving. I'm like, no, I really don't. He goes, well, I thought you'd say something. I'm like, well, why would I say something? I don't know what you give. He goes, well, you don't look. I said, no, I don't look. I used to do that as a young pastor, and I'd get so mad I couldn't do it. So now I don't. And I just love you all and think you're all great givers. It just works a whole lot better in my brain. And he goes, well, I haven't been given. And I said, well, what's the problem? He goes, I don't know. I just don't trust God. And he goes, I'm sick and I'm having problems. I said, all right, here's the deal. You need to have this conversation with God, not me. But I can tell you what the Bible says you need to give. And I said, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to pray that God's going to bless you. But you got to put it in your head you're going to do this. And I kid you not, we prayed for him, and I said, you know, if you can't give 10%, give 2%, then it's between you and God. It's not between you and me. I kid you not, the next day he called me. He goes, you're never going to believe what happened. I'm like, no, you should have said, do you know what happened? No. He said, I got a raise. I said, well, you know what the deal is? You have to step out in God, and then God fills the gap. Again, it's not about money. His faith just got lifted up. Okay. Really, what you and I need to be saying is, in order to have a balanced relationship with God, I've got to be seeking Him. I've got to spend time praying. I've got to spend time in God's Word. And then I've got to be serving Him. You're here not just to fill a spot or to take up air. You're here because God has a plan for you. I can't wait until you hear a couple of the guys who've never been on a missions trip and said, what have I done the last 20 years of my life? This is one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my whole life. What happened is that they're faithful, but now they're becoming fruitful. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. Now, I remember in driver's ed, we had the little car things, you know, inside. Now they don't do that. And we would drive. I'd always get in trouble for speeding, and then they'd make us look at red asphalt. You know what I'm talking about? Man, I still have trauma. You know what red asphalt is? It's pictures of people who've been in wrecks, and they make you stare at it. Jim Brewer? Yes, sir. You're speeding. Go look at red asphalt. But I'm going to tell you, I couldn't wait to get out from that thing and get in the car and fly down the freeways in California. That's where we learned to drive. Man, it was exciting. And they had that brake. You know, they're hammering it. When you serve the Lord, you think, I'm training for the battle. If you're not doing anything, you're not doing anything. We actually think training for the battle equals we're in the battle, and it's a lie. I trained for driver's ed, but when I got behind that car and I saw the look on the instructor's face, I knew I was doing something. You know? And here's a problem. If you're just overwhelmed and so frustrated with money, it's going to hurt your marriage. You're like, oh, babe, I bought you this. Well, great. We can't pay for the other thing. Now I wear this and I don't even know where the money's coming from. I mean, there's all kinds of problems. You give, you save, and then you consume or hoard all you want. If you only do one of the three, you're mastered by your money. If you do two of the three, you're mastered by your money. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. We don't think about it that way, right? Like, we want to serve two. But you're either devoted to God or you're devoted to your stuff, and the best way to know that is look at where you're spending. When is the last time you gave to the kingdom of God? Again, there's so many people at Hope who give, and there's such a blessing. You can't serve both, even though we try. In a few minutes past this, when Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount, he kind of brings up another topic, because you got to kind of put something up top, right? There's God or there's money. I mean, there's something's going to be on top. And that's why Jesus goes on when he talks about that, and he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. You don't think God knows what you need? And there's a difference between what we need and what we want, right? What we need and what we want. But some people are like, why doesn't God give me more? Because you're struggling so much with what you have, why would he give you more reasons to not follow him? That doesn't make sense to me. You wouldn't do that to your kids. Hey, you're failing because I'm giving you this much. Here, let me give you more just to push you off the edge completely. Do you not think that God loves you and he knows what you need? He knows that, you know, milk is high and gas is high and everything's crazy, except for the people who sold their homes and now they're living in a shelter and nobody knows it, but they're just filthy rich because they sold last summer. It says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Okay. In other words, you got to put something first. What's going to come first? Do I give first? Or do I consume first? I remember in Bible college, two pastor friends of mine, we were talking, and Gordon says to my other buddy, Scott, we're talking about giving and just kind of our views on that. You know, like in Bible college, you think you know everything, then you get out and like interact with the real world, and you're like, man, they didn't teach me anything. That's great. Remember, I thought I was kind of cool with Greek, so I started, I was so dumb. I remember a dad after he goes, hey, you're really proud of yourself, and you know a lot, don't you? Can you, like, talk about things that will help me with my kid? I'm like, no. Do you know how hard I studied? I hated Greek. I did it for you. You're going to listen. I mean, but in seminary, they didn't teach us this stuff, but this is what really matters. God cares about you. And he doesn't want you to be drowning. He doesn't want you to be completely upside down because it brings you so much stress. And what about the kingdom? What about the kingdom of God? It's super important. If you give, it took me a while. You're like, what about Gordon and Scott? Thank you. My brain's a little slow. All right, Gordon and Scott. Scott says, I believe in tithing it. And Gordon says, hey, Scott, you mean to tell me if I can't pay my bills, I'm supposed to tithe and be a terrible example to the people I owe money to? And I'm like, wonder where this is going. And Scott was brilliant. He said, Gordon, because I tithe first, I'll never worry about having enough money to pay my bills. I remember that for as long as Moses was alive. I don't know. A very long time. Understand this. We want to help you with your time, talents, and treasures for the purpose of you growing in the Lord. If you think life's just about you and you come to Hope Church for what you can get, you're probably not going to be here for very long. If you come and say, how can I be a part of this? What can I do? We're not begging for money. I don't even think we take an offering. Kevin, when's the last time we took an offering? How many? All right, we're changing that right now. No. But I mean, so I'm not just saying. I love you guys so much. I do. I missed you while we were gone. And I just want you to understand this is a matter of obedience. And to reorder your financial world, you need to say, God, how can I put you first and not have money control me? This is nothing about you being guilty today or feeling guilty. This is about you being able to take a breath. Sitting on the tarmac last night and there, I'm like, this is not going good. It's not going good at all good. And this morning, when our flight actually left, I'm like, oh, like maybe I'm going to make it to church. I felt like a parent with toddlers. I mean, it was so hard to get here, and you should be given a prize every week you come. But that's kind of how it was, Poor parents out there, I saw your kids crying. It's like, oh, how do I, like, squeeze him hard but not hurt him, and the pastor's watching, and I get it. We had kids. You're fine. But, getting here, it was such a freedom. The terrible time was when I'm stuck in this tin can and I'm seeing all these planes flying and people going places and I'm just stuck. As your pastor, I really love you and I don't want you to get beat up by your finances. So why don't you give the first 10, save the next 10, and live on the rest? See, I don't know if I can do that. Oh, you can. Because 90% of the world does. And we consume most of the world's goods. But we live in an area that's rather wealthy, and it's hard not to look and go, I work as hard as you, you big jerk. you know, I deserve that, right? And we get stuck in the ways of the world and we're not thinking of the kingdom of God. You're not going to live forever here. It should be about here because obviously let's enjoy life, right? We're here. But what about the kingdom of God? Okay. From my perspective, just for a second. We are a giving church. Our friends in Costa Rica that we just met, they said, Jim, we thought your church was, you know, thousands of people. I'm like, really? They said, yeah, because of how you guys give. They said, we have churches that come with, you know, thousands of people and they don't give anything. You know, then I kind of puff my chest out. It's not the dog in the fight, it's the fight in the dog. Or is that how it goes? You know what I'm talking about? That saying? Yeah. So we're that dog that's got like a heart and argh, that kind of a dog. Oh, Lord. Anybody got an extra donut? I feel like I'm even shrinking. All right, I'm going to puff my chest out again and talk about the dog in the fight. But we're a giving church. I'm not mad at anybody. I just want you to be set free. And actually, a church of our size, we could do better. We just can. And it's just awkward with the church. It's awkward for me talking, but I would never go into your place of business and say, hey, the guy next to me is going to pay for it. He's good. When's the last time you got gas and said, the guy behind me's got a better car, he'll get it. But we do that with the Lord. I gave a couple of closing comments, and they make me laugh. I'll just read them. They're funny, at least to me, but a lot of things are funny right now to me. by the way, I don't get a raise from this talk. I don't get a percentage of our giving. Here's another true statement. I actually gave away the raise I was given this year to be a blessing to others. And it's not the first time I've done it. And I'm not saying that to brag, like, oh, you just lost your reward in heaven. I'm going with Sharon. I'm good. You know, what I'm trying to talk to you about is Christian obedience, maturity in Christ. Quit thinking it's all about you. Quit thinking it's all about me. That's how you make a miserable life. It's true. It's not about money. It's about being a Christ follower. It's about undivided attention. It's about an undivided focus where our heart needs to be set. It's time to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to get this right with my Savior. I hate that verse in Malachi, and I'll tell you why I hate it. Because the priest lowered the standard and the people followed it. I hate that verse because it's talking about me. It's talking about the priest who said, oh, you can give a lamb that's got a blemish. You can do, oh, I'm sorry. It's on me to tell you the truth. But I hate this talk. And that's why I'm telling you, I don't get a percentage of this. I don't do, you know. I just want you to be set free and live for the Lord. I want you to be biblical. And I'll make this deal with you. You tithe this year, and if it doesn't work, we'll give it all back to you. It's about God. It's not about me. You'll have to go to Kevin for that. Because I won't know if you tithed or not. But he now joined another church. Here's my last sentence. Well, the very last part says you need to pray. Okay, I will. Balance life for the Lord. That's what I want for you. And if you're just giving, but you never seek, there's no balance there. If you're just like a crazy giver, but you don't serve, oh, no, my money will do it. There's no balance there. You don't look at one more important than the others. You've got to seek, you've got to serve, and you've got to share in the responsibility, your time, your talents, and your treasures. And that, my friends, is how you grow as a believer. Yeah. Okay. Hey, Pastor Zach, is there a song at the end? Could you just kind of like hum a little bit while I pray? Just kidding. All right. Well, we've got to laugh because I think I've made some of you mad. And if I've made you mad, here's the deal. Take it up with Kevin. He knows how you give. With a pure heart today, I can look at you and say, every one of you is the best giver in the church. Because that's how I look at you today. That's how I see you. And I like it that way. Hey, there's the best giver of the church right there. Not sure in the sound booth, can't see him. But honestly, that's how I see you today. I love you dearly as your pastor, and I'm excited for the future for all of us. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us, and there's so many scriptures about our hearts. And would you help us when it comes to seeking you, that as the pastors and the leadership, we would continue to provide things that help people to seek you? And then, Lord, would you help us to have more opportunities for people to serve? Lord, we need to use our time and our talents. And then, Lord, when it comes with sharing the responsibilities, it's between everyone here and you. It's between Hope at Home watching on TV and you. My deepest heart today, Lord, is to bless the people here. Bless them, Lord. Bless them and keep them encouraged, Lord. Don't let them be bogged down. Don't let them spend so much time at work they don't have time for you. Don't let them get so great at what they do in the world they forget that you gave them those talents that they could also be used in church. Don't let us make so much that we forget you and so little that we want to steal from you. God, thank you. Thank you for Hope Church, these wonderful people. Bless them, Lord. Keep them. May your face radiate about them, God. Give them the grace they need to follow you this week, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you.